You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Cubs fans, and welcome to Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. You can follow me on Twitter. That's simply at Joe Kilgallen. Give this podcast a follow as well at Locked On Cubs. I am pumped up. We got a lot of great things to talk about. Our beloved Cubs have swept those Dirty Bird Cardinals. Absolutely embarrassed them on national television twice during the three-game set. Twice. The entire nation watched live from beautiful Wrigley Field as the Chicago Cubs just destroyed those St. Louis Cardinals. If you're a parent and your kid plays for the St. Louis Cardinals, Mr. and Mrs. Arenado, you're embarrassed right now. You're probably not getting back to your son's phone calls right away. You know, he's probably calling and you're like, oh God, we know what this is about. Honey, you know what this is about? I don't feel like talking about it. You embarrassed the family name. Let it go to voicemail. Well, it's past the 9:30 cutoff. It's a little late. We're old. We'll talk to Nolan in the morning. Okay, that's what you're thinking right now. It was a fantastic weekend. We'll get into that. I got a message for the haters because there's a lot of people who are down our Cubs at the beginning of the season into late April, even through the first month. So I got a message to them. I will, of course, recap the series. And I really want to dive into, again, the season that one Dirty Craig Kimbrel is having. But as of course, let's give a shout out to Locked On MLB, everybody. This episode is sponsored by Locked On MLB. Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia, Paul Francis Sullivan, Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from Locked On MLB's network team of local experts, and all sorts of good stuff. If you love baseball, you got to check out Locked On MLB. All right, Cubs fans, are we feeling good? Are you jazzed up? Are you listening to this first thing Monday morning thinking, you know what, Joe? I was dreading Monday, but now I'm feeling like I could run through a brick wall because that's what David Ross has these Cubs doing right now. They are playing with just an amazing amount of confidence. And as a fan, you should have confidence in them too. Okay? As Cubs fans, we were super confident during the middle of the rebuild. I'd say like what? 2015, 2016? Maybe in the beginning of 2015, you were still feeling it out. You were excited because there was so much promise. And then 2015 was so fantastic. Going into 2016, you were like, oh man, we're Heisenberg. We are Heisenberg and Breaking Bad. We are the ones that knock. 2017, you're like, hey, we're back in the NLCS. We didn't repeat, but nobody repeats in baseball anymore. There hasn't been a back-to-back World Series winner since 99-2000. It's okay. Still, three NLCS appearances in a row? Oh, this is great. Then 2018, that hit us like a gut punch at the end of the year. So then they didn't spend after the 2018 season or the 2019 season or really kind of the 2020 season. So there was a lot to be skeptical about. There was a lot to make you nervous as a Cubs fan, thinking, oh, please, we don't need to go back. We're supposed to be perennial contenders now, most expensive tickets in baseball, and we're back at 100% capacity, which is great to see. I do have an interesting side note, though, not to take away from the energy that was at Wrigley Field, because it was electric. I was not at any of the games. I wish I was. I was at the Improv Comedy Club working with a good friend of mine, comedian Steve Byrne. You know, big shout out to anyone who came down to those shows. If you're listening, thanks for being there. It's a great comedy club out in Schaumburg, the Woodfield Mall area. Anyhow, but it was an electric atmosphere. Everything I saw, the highlights, I was watching the games, of course, listening on the radio, the sound of the crowd. It's what Chicago Northside Wrigley Field baseball is all about. It really is what makes it. To quote a buddy of mine, the director of morale for the Chicago Cubs, one Dom_Frederick, follow him on Twitter, great dude. To quote him, it really is different here. It's different here. It's a magical place. There's so much to love about it. And to see it at 100% capacity, although I'll say almost, it was allowed to be, but I was very interested to see how Friday's game only had 35,000 people. That was what the announced attendance was. Saturday was the biggest. That was at 39,000. And then Sunday again was 35,000. So 40,000 is typically considered a sellout at Wrigley Field, and we did not sell out any of these games, and the weather was perfect, basically. I mean, a little too hot for my liking, you know, for people with reddish hair. It was a little bit much for us, but still, you take that weather every time, most of the time, right? And so I was a little surprised, though, although part of me is a little bit like, you know what, I'm okay with that, because I wonder if that's enough to make ownership think, wait a minute, how do we not sell out against our rival while we're in first place playing great baseball in June? People pumped up about the first weekend back to 100% capacity in Chicago. Okay. Are there still people nervous? That could be it. That could be it. Are some people not aware that there's tickets available? Maybe we didn't do a good enough job with that, but you know, got a lot of news coverage. A major city opened up to 100% capacity. It wasn't really a secret. A lot of people talking about it. So maybe ownership will then step back and think to themselves, okay, well, maybe since we've won a World Series in the last few off seasons, we really haven't been doing, you know, making the necessary adjustments to really push this team over the edge, to give this team the competitive advantage they need, because the talent base has been there. So maybe ownership will think to themselves, wow, if we actually do a rebuild, we're going to be drawing nothing. I'm going to call it a forced rebuild. If the Cubs decide to rebuild in 2022, that's their choice. That's forced, because it doesn't need to be. There's no reason to whatsoever. And I've gone over that often on this podcast. You could keep the core together and still be well under the luxury tax. You've got all these young, exciting arms that are cost-controlled, young hitters coming through. So there's really no reason to, other than being cheap and trying to recoup money that was lost, or really, I believe it's money that wasn't realized. You know, look at it this way. I'll make it simple. If you're a bartender and you go, I expect to make $300 on Friday night, but you only make $180. You don't go home and tell your girlfriend or your wife or your boyfriend or your, you know, whatever. You don't say, I lost $120 tonight. Because they'd be like, you lost $120 tonight. Unreal. So your night was a negative $120. And then you'd be like, well, no, I made $180, but I thought I was going to make $300. Because that's what they're kind of doing with these books, just to make it clear. But my message, though, with all the greatness that's going on, with our Cubs playing fantastic baseball, and we as fans have a confidence. We were down 5-1 on Friday, and I wasn't freaking out. I don't know what it is. I just feel like we are in it until the last out. I know that could sound like rah-rah cheerleader stuff to some people, like, oh man, you are really, Joe, just doing shots of that Cubby Kool-Aid, aren't you? No, it sounds delicious, but no, it's really the atmosphere and the vibe and the morale that is oozing out of that dugout right now. There's new people popping up all the time, new heroes. Sergio Alcantara off to a fantastic start. We've talked at length about Patrick Wisdom. Jock Peterson has been on fire over the last few weeks. Ian Happ starting to turn it around. Anthony Rizzo had one of the greatest at bats of all time. Okay, I'll go into that a little bit when I do a whole series recap. The thing I wanted to really emphasize here in the beginning part of this podcast is if you were one of the naysayers, and I saw this from a lot of people, and I tweeted it out, I made posts on social media, because I saw a lot of people making comments saying, I don't know how anyone could watch this team right now. And then I saw people saying, like, you know what? I'm not even going to bother. I'm not going to waste my time with the 2021 Chicago Cubs. That's what they're saying. Early April. Mid-April, I'll even give you. I'll give you late April, sure. But you were saying it earlier than that. And I remember saying, I made a post going, it was one of those like vague kind of like, you kind of know who I'm talking about, if you were one of the people I'm talking about, where I said, what do you call someone who only watches and supports a team when they're winning? And everyone knows the answer to that is, of course, you call them a fair weather fan. If you only show up and you only support when they're winning, you're not a good fan. And I know there's people out there going, don't tell people how to be a fan. They could be a fan however they want to be a fan. Sure, of course. If you're listening right now, you could be whatever kind of fan you want. You could watch one inning a year and call yourself a Cubs fan. Go ahead, fine. But you're not as good as the rest of us. That's just a fact. You know, Pearl Jam's a popular band amongst Cubs fans. If I know two songs, do I get to say I'm as big a Pearl Jam fan as you, who goes to concerts and owns all their records? Of course not. That would be stupid. So yes, you could fan whoever you want, but there are levels to this fan game. There really are. So for those of you who gave up on the team because you're fair weather fans or whatever excuse you want to give and blah, 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 know this, you're a welcome back, because we are a wonderful fan base who welcomes all. But you need to say you're sorry. I want to hear an apology. I want it either written or verbal. You know, you could videotape yourself. You know, everyone's got a camera on their phone these days. I want you basically looking into the camera and saying, fellow Cubs fans, I betrayed us. I'm sorry. I was frustrated. It was a rough year for a lot of people. And maybe emotionally, I'm still not where I need to be. Maybe I need to see a therapist. But I abandoned the Cubs ship. I'm very sorry. I would now like to climb aboard and be there with you. And I promise I will not give up, because we as Cubs fans, we signed up for all 162. Now, if you're upset for other reasons and decide, hey, until they start ownership starts spending money, I'm not going to spend money. That's fine. But we could listen on the radio. We've got Pat and Ron. Never forget that, Cubs fans. Never forget that. Wealthfront, everybody. Day trading is super popular right now. Everyone's talking about it, right? And it can be a lot of fun. But if you really want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor, so why do it alone? Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion, that's right, $20 billion with a big old capital B, dollars of assets, and you could get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. I really want you guys to hear me on this one, because this is super important. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, I got to add that part, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to get started today. Now let's talk about the series that was, right? So the Cardinals coming to town, they have been scuffling a little bit. And if you'd listened to on Friday's podcast that we recorded late Thursday night, I was with Lucas Smith from the Lockdown Cardinals podcast, a great kid. What's up, Lucas? I'm going to call you a kid. Dude is like 20, 21 years old. And if you didn't listen, go back, because there's plenty of stuff that's still fresh. You get to hear some takes about how the Cardinals screwed up on Patrick Wisdom and didn't really give him enough of a shot, I feel like. I tell a really cool story about, you know, celebrating Wrigley being back open, one of my favorite moments at Wrigley Field. As a fan, of course, and I discovered he's 20 years old because I used a three-way calling reference, and he didn't know what that was. I also referenced the 1998 trade deadline in which the Cubs foolishly gave up John Garland for Matt Karchner. He didn't know what that was either. So, yeah, it made me feel pretty old. I'm only in my 30s, but then again, I guess to a 20-year-old, that's ancient. I don't know. When I was 20, did I view people in their mid-30s as being super old? I don't think I did. I watched a lot of sophisticated television growing up. You know, I was a big Seinfeld fan. I was watching Seinfeld when I was like 10. So I didn't think like, oh, these people are in their 80s, you know, but that's the vibe he gave me. Let's look at the NL Central right now before we really dive into a game by game thing here. The Cubs and Brewers are still tied. 38 wins, 27 losses, 11 games over 500. That's a 585 win percentage for both teams, respectively. High watermark for games over 500. The Cubs have been the better team. If you go by run differential, we are plus 43. They are plus 10. A lot of our other numbers are better, but they are just dominating that bad spot of, you know, the weak part of their schedule. Can't blame them. You got to face your schedule. Everyone faces. I can't wait until we face the Diamondbacks. I hope we're hot like we are now. I guess you could say we didn't. If we were even a little bit better against teams like the Pirates and the Brewers in early April, and you know, the Braves are a below 500 team, but I still feel like they're going to turn it around eventually. You know, the Braves right now are in third place. They're 30-33. I don't get what's going on in Atlanta. Here's an interesting thing, though, looking around the divisions in Major League Baseball. Against the Cubs have swept the Dodgers, Padres, Mets, and Cardinals all at Wrigley Field. The Cardinals are now below 500, though. Isn't that weird? We beat the Cardinals today, and they fell below 500. So that weakens the Cubs' record against winning teams, which it shouldn't, because they were a winning team coming in and we made them not a winning team. So how does that hurt our overall, you know, some idiot who always doesn't understand how numbers work will use that to be like, see, look, the Cubs haven't faced anyone good. I'm like, no, they were good. And then they faced the Cubs. Now they're terrible. That's how that works. We're just, you know what we are? We're like that prize fighter just putting people on their backs, just knocking people right on the mat. Love to see it. The Giants are the only team. We lost 3 out of 4 to them, and I'm still not afraid of them. This Cubs team is a World Series contender. Say that with me out loud. Beep. If you're driving, beep your horn and yell out the window, this Cubs team is a World Series contender. Let them know. Let them know in the Kenny. Let them know in the Edens. If you're on the South Side, Dan Ryan, let them know, but you know, be a little careful. A lot of Sox fans down there. They get a little crazy. They might fight you. Sox are actually playing really well too, but they're, you know, they're playing some bad teams. Not to take anything away from them. They're a plus 106 run differential. All right, yeah, you got to tip your hat to them. Got to tip your hat. I hope they lose in the first round of the playoffs. Anyhow, all right. not going to spend too much time hating. The pitching yesterday, the pitching today. Let's give Zach Davies some love, huh? Zach Davies. This is a guy who even said in a press conference, a post-game press conference, that this was the worst stretch of his career. His starts. His first start was pretty good, actually, at Wrigley Field. I remember I think he went about five innings, gave up two earned. But then starts set two, like his second start of the season, I'm trying to say, through his like seventh start. Five starts in a row, just awful. Just really making us as Cubs fans be like, oh, God. Oh, please. Oh, and what's Darvish's record? Darvish is what? He's how much? What is he doing? One ERA? Striking out everyone? Oh, man. It just was like one of those things that made you sick to your stomach. You know, and Davey seems like a good dude. I got nothing against him. You know, seems like a guy that, you know, it's not too many professional athletes that you're like, I could give him a piggyback ride, like the one on my shoulders. He's a grown man. I could put on my shoulders and walk around like that. Side note, if you're a parent and you're at a Cubs game and you walk out of a packed stadium of nearly 40,000 people and you have your 4-year-old or 5-year-old or 6-year-old on your shoulders, you're an idiot. That's a dangerous game you're playing, because you got some people who have enjoyed too many beverages, like I might have tonight. I performed, and stay in school, kids. Drink plenty of water, and you know they've had their beverages. What if one of them slams into you on accident because they're messing around with their buddy? They don't notice, and your kid starts to fall off your shoulders. 5-year-olds aren't athletic enough to be like, "Oh, I'll break my fall by twisting and putting." You know what I mean? They're going to land straight to their back. It's like they got power bombed off your shoulders. It's just foolish. If you want to do the piggyback ride, do piggyback, but don't do on the shoulders. Piggyback is straight back. You know, their arms are around your neck a little bit, and then their legs go through your arms, and you're kind of carrying them like that. I wish you guys could see what I'm doing, but you're listening via audio, so it's trying to paint the picture as best I can. I'm not Pat Hughes. You could describe a piggyback ride better than anyone, I bet. If they fall off the piggyback, they could kind of hit their feet first, then fall to their butt, and then they could go to their back. I'm not saying they wouldn't get hurt, but it's a lot better than like toppling off of someone's shoulders nearly 6 feet in the air, depending on how tall you are. It's a dangerous move. It's something that is always, I get anxiety seeing people do stuff like that because it's an unnecessary risk. I know the kid probably likes when you do it at the house or in the backyard, but you as a parent have to be like, hey, listen, Tommy, there's 40,000 people walking out of here and I don't trust a lot of them. Look around. You think these people are walking in straight lines? They're not. All right. So I'm just going to hold your hand, or I'm going to hold you like this. Okay, where I got you tight. It's still fun, but I'm not going to have you dangling off my shoulders and being silly, and then you fall backwards and crack your neck. I'm a better dad than that, Tommy. That's what I want you guys saying, okay? Zach Davies, in his last 7 starts, has a 2.17 earned run average. 2.17. So his ERA is still, it's 4.01 ERA, which is probably about league average, maybe? Maybe a little above league average. I have to definitely check that number before stating it out loud. But a 4.01 isn't bad, especially after that horrendous start. But last 7, 2.17 ERA. He has been fantastic. He went 6 2/3. Anytime your starter could get you in the 7th inning, you got to love that. Ryan Tepera then came in. I'm of course, talking about last night's game, everyone. Ryan Tepera came in and has been doing what Ryan Tepera has been doing. I'm not kidding when I say this. I know it might seem like I'm going over the top of my Cub love here. He should be an all-star. But middle relievers just, they don't get that kind of love. They just don't. Dirty Craig Kimbrel will be an all-star. And I'm going to spend the last 6 or 7 minutes really breaking down how fantastic he has been. So I wanted to talk about this, though, because this is one of the cooler things I've seen. That Friday game, again, the first day game, 1:20 Friday start. Absolutely love those games. They used to do a 2:20 start, which was really cool, because in high school we'd have like this thing called a meeting schedule, where we get out at 1:30 and we were able to just like hop right on the Addison bus, you know, and just go right over there. Beautiful. Get to the game on time. Loved it. And then, you know, 1:20 is still a good start, but I kind of miss the old school 2:20 on a Friday. That was kind of a nice little later afternoon thing. Wrigley is absolutely rocking. They got Bill Murray to come out and sing the 7th inning stretch, and he was hilarious. Got to love Bill Murray. The Hall of Famers throwing out the first pitch. They kind of dubbed it Opening Day 2.0. which I think is pretty cool. I mean, it's not the opening day. You got to be honest with yourself. There's only one. But I still like the idea of like, hey, this is a big deal. 100% capacity. Let's go. Let's go. Now, we get off to a rough start. Cole Stewart has to make the start. He had just got recalled from AAA Iowa. Trevor Williams still not back from his appendicitis, and our guy Adbert Alzolay has the blister problem, so they're taking it easy with him. Hopefully he'll be back in the rotation soon enough, though. Blisters can be tricky, though. They linger, and we're playing good ball, so they might be like, ah, we don't need to rush him back, you know? So he was okay for a little bit, and, you know, I'm not going to judge him too harshly. The defense was a little shaky behind him at one point, and again, he wasn't super sharp. He ends up giving up about 4 earned, I want to say. And the thing with Cole Stewart was that he looked really sharp his first inning against San Diego, which is a better offense than the Cardinals. And at the next one, he was still pretty solid, enough to the point where a lot of fans were saying Cole Stewart needs to stay on the major league roster. The Cubs like their flexibility, though, using him as like a 6-man swing guy. So they sent him back down. He gets called back up. These guys that yo-yo a little bit, you can't expect too much out of them. A lot of times they don't even know they're starting until they get the phone call. So the prep work is a little different. He got sent back down afterwards. Anyway, long story short, though, the Cubs chip away. Ian Happ, 2-run homer, makes the game. Well, when he hits the 2-run homer, we actually gave us the lead. Then we go down 5-2. Then we scratch out some runs. But the big at-bat, the at-bat that I hope we are talking about the rest of the season. You know how in big years, there's always like a play that just kind of comes up. Like in the 2016 season, I think about John Lester's sacrifice bunt in that crazy game against the Mariners that I believe was also an ESPN Sunday Night Baseball game. He lays the sack bunt. Hayward comes sliding in. The Cubs win. They were down 6-0 early. They came back. Joe Maddon had fun by putting Travis Wood on the outfield to switch up like some like righty-lefty matchups. Travis Wood makes a catch-up right up against the Vines. It was just one of those games where you're like, oh, this one's going to stick out. We'll see highlights from this for a while. Anthony Rizzo had a 14-pitch at-bat. Just fouling it off, wearing down the pitcher. And with each foul ball, the crowd got more and more into it. More and more like, this is amazing. Let's go. No matter what happens, this has been a fantastic at-bat. Yes. Come on, Riz. Let's go. Then, right as the crowd's building to like a fever pitch, an absolute frenzy, right when they build to that crescendo, he takes an inside 96-mile-an-hour fastball and just like a rocket, a missile. Nobody was nearby, luckily. It was at that part of the bleachers right underneath like the Budweiser scoreboard where it's like, I think, a little private section. It lands in there. He's jacked around in the bases. I'm glad nobody was nearby because it may have killed somebody. If you were trying to catch that one, you're breaking a couple ribs because that ball was screaming as it left the yard. And he was pumped, and it was one of those moments where you're like, this is – that tied the game at 5. Jock Peterson, Alcantara, I believe, hit a home run that game. Jock Peterson went deep. No, I'm sorry. It was Jock Peterson, then Contreras went deep that game. Alcantara went deep the next game. And even today, without a lot of offense, 2-0 was enough. And you just felt confident. You just felt confident that the Cubs were going to do it. And let me add this note. On the last Friday's episode of the podcast, I gave predictions when I did a crossover podcast with the Lockdown Cardinals host Lucas Smith. I said the Cubs would win 2 out of 3. I said they'd win Friday, Saturday. I said we would lose Sunday because I believe Carlos Martinez was due for a bounce back. Now, Lucas disagreed with me. Carlos Martinez pitched great. The 2 runs were unearned because of errors. So I was happy to be wrong. I was right in the sense that Carlos Martinez was going to bounce back. But I was wrong in that we were going to take 2 out of 3. And we swept them. And man, oh man, was I happy to be wrong. Built Bar. Do you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors? We're talking coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie. That's my favorite. Peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. Not caramel. It's caramel, everybody. I will win this war on this, of the caramel versus caramel. Just to throw that out there. It's an amazing product to get you ready for your day, everybody. Low in carbs, low in sugar, great flavor. So many nutrition bars these days, it's cardboard. You're eating cardboard, okay? But not Built Bar. You got 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and we all got to watch out for sugar. Only 4 grams of sugar. You can't beat that. It's a delicious way to start your day to keep you going with the energy. So don't forget, everyone, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's right. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Bet online, everyone. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. You guys see the highlights of the Diaz fight? He fought, who did he fight? I can't remember now, but it was great. Good fight. That Diaz, he lost, but he's an entertaining guy. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great bonuses they got going on right now and contest information. So do not sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on. All right, Cubs fans, we are so privileged. Really, a big part of our privilege as Cubs fans is having a lockdown closer. Doesn't it just put you at ease? You know, I remember in the early 2000s, the Dodgers had Eric Gagne. I believe early up to mid-2000s, that's when he was really on, like, just a phenom. He was. He had something like 95 consecutive saves in a row. It was unheard of what he was doing. And I was also jealous at the time because even though I loved the old school nature of Wrigley, the Dodgers really had a real cool like intro, like when Gagne would come into the game. And I'm going to look up that Gagne streak real quick. I wanted to know exactly how long it was. Eric Gagne had 84 consecutive saves. So Dodger fans, by the way, and I've ragged on them a lot. I used to live in LA. I do love Dodger Stadium. Their fans, though, are a lot to be desired as far as being good fans goes. They're famous for getting there in the third inning, leaving the seventh, and there is some truth to that, and it's some laziness too, because I feel like Chicago has worse traffic anyway. Though they could get there earlier, if the Dodgers had a significant lead where they knew Gagne was going to come in, they would leave. And some people are like, they're leaving early anyway to beat traffic, but they would leave, and because they knew they were going to miss the show. Gagne, it was a show. They would do this thing. I'm pretty sure they played Welcome to the Jungle, which a few people have. Kimbrel's AC/DC guy, which I like. They'd play Welcome to the Jungle. Like the whole stadium would get real dark and play, you know, great song. The stadium scoreboard would flash game over, game over, game over as he came jogging in from the bullpen. And I remember thinking to myself, man, as an opposing hitter, that's got to get in your head. You have to be thinking to yourself, oh, we got to face this guy. So you're already in defensive mode up there. And I think that's how batters are facing our boy Dirty Craig right now. They know how electric he's been. That fastball is hit 99 consistently now with some ride on it, some upward movement. And the arm slot is the same on the breaking pitch, this like knuckle curve he throws that he's snapping off with so much success and such a tight spin where he's making good hitters look bad. And, you know, there's a great Twitter account called Pitching Ninja, and he really shows the highlights and breaks down, like, the overlays of the arm, like, angle. And you can understand, it's like, how do hitters ever make contact with certain pitchers is beyond all of us as fans. This guy, though, Kimbrel, is having one of the best seasons of his career. Just a phenomenal year. He has got his lowest walk rate in, I think, like, since 2013. ERA is low. His WAR, this according to FanGraphs, everyone, he's already at like a 1.4, which he's at all-star seasons where he didn't finish that high. His career high, his best season ever was 2017. He had a 3.2 WAR with the Boston Red Sox that year, which for like a closer, that's very, very elite. Very elite. He struck out 16 batters per nine, which is unreal. 1.83 walks. So that's like his 2.73 right now, which is one of his lowest of all time. He's had elite seasons where it hasn't been this elite. The numbers are just incredible. Throwing strikes, and it just makes it so that the whole bullpen fits into place now. You're trusting, like I already went Goo Goo Gaga over Ryan Tepera in the season he's having. Andrew Chafin has been unbelievable, just unbelievable. And we all know that we love the character he is, you know, that stash and just a fun energy he brings to the team. Tommy Nance, lights out. Winkler. Come on, Winkler. He's been very good. I mean, there's just so much to like about this Cubs bullpen. And Kimbrel is a Hall of Famer. We have a Hall of Famer on the team. And it's so interesting. It went from like the month of April being like, well, Kimbrel, he's, you know, closers are usually in demand. He could fetch us maybe a top 100 prospect, a top 50 prospect even. He's unbelievable. But guys, Kimbrel has a vesting option. If he completes 55 games finished this season, and he has to pass a physical, it says in parentheses, which I'm sure he will, that option's already picked up. So now I'm thinking, not only should we not trade him, because it'd be insane to trade one of the best closers in baseball while you're in first place, right? But they should pick up the option regardless. I think it's an option we could pick up, but it'll hit automatically if he finishes 55 games this year, which I'm not still sure if he'll do, because there'll be enough games where we're up by enough where they're not going to throw him out there, you know? So, and then 55 games finished does not mean 55 saves. There's plenty of times closers go out there with, you know, a 6-run lead because they need the work. They got to tune it up like a good engine. Yeah, tune it up every now and then. So yeah, it's a vesting option for $16 million, or just a straight out option that we could just, a club option, they could pick it up, and it'd be a $1 million buyout. So they would save $15 million if they let him walk. So the way you have to view it is, do you, if you're the Cubs and you're looking at 2022, this upcoming offseason, no matter what happens in 2021, you're like, hey, we need a closer. We could try these young guys, or we could just pay $15 million for 1 year of the guy who was lights out for us. Either way, they're in a good position to be in, because I do think they have enough young arms where you could feel confident giving one of them a go at the closer spot. But again, why mess with a good thing? Again, do not let the press. There's a lot of people in the press, a lot of great ones, but there's some ones out there, the clickbait people, who are just trying to make it so that fans could stomach them not doing anything. Don't tolerate that. Again, I'm hoping ownership sees, hey, we had our opening weekend back, beautiful weather against our rival, and we didn't sell out. My God, what's going to happen if we don't sign any of the core? We trade them away for teenagers again. We go the cheap route. What's going to happen? We're going to be starving. Not literally, but that's how they should view it, because they will lose tons and tons of money. But let's not talk about that. Let's focus on the good and how great our Cubs have been, you know? So we are going to play the New York Mets coming up. It's a 4-game set. The pitching lineup, we don't know the matchups right now from the Mets. Jacob DeGrom, we might face him, we might not. Either way, I say bring him on. Cubs are riding high. I don't care who we face. I'm at the point where I just do not care who we face, Cubs fans, and you need to have that same mentality. All right, everyone, this has been the Locked On Cubs podcast for Monday, June 14th. You guys are fantastic. Please write a review if you can. Share the episodes with other Cubs fans. I'm sure they'd love to hear it. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen, and as always, go Cubs. Check out Locked On Today, everybody. Get all your sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.